Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
I mean, yesterday morning, I woke up and I did not have time to go through my normal routine to set the structure for my day, which is very, very important to me. But I didn't have time because I had other obligations. And my mood was terrible. I was walking around the house, and you could tell Aram was not happy. And my wife called me out on it. Then my wife started preaching to me. Now, that's the bad thing about being a preacher, when your wife uses your own words against you, you know? But, you know, I thought she's right. I've allowed my day to be shaped by my feelings instead of by my faith in who God is and what he's calling me into. And in that moment, I had to reform and refocus the way I was thinking. And as soon as I did that, it changed. Things began to change. The problem is many of us don't understand how to submit ourselves to Christ because we are so trained to submit ourselves to our own flesh. And Paul is saying, if you're in Christ, something's changed. Are you seeing that? Something's changed. It's no longer, Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Who I was has been crucified. That is a dead man. You no longer see that person anymore. Verse 14, he says, for sin will have no dominion over you. Did you hear what I just said? For sin will have no dominion over you. What that means is because Christ has defeated sin and because he has made you new, you don't have to live according to that sin nature anymore. But again, that's a choice you have to make because every day it's going to show up. Sandra, every single day, that sin nature is going to show up and give you the opportunity to step over into it. See, just because you're saved doesn't mean you've lost your flesh yet. That's the war that we're fighting between the flesh nature, which leads to sin, or the nature of God, which leads to life. And so when those things pop up, I've got to say, get out of here. You don't have the right nor the authority to be in my life. If you know me, I'm the type of person that I jump pretty quickly at night if I've been sleeping. If you startle me, I'm coming out of that bed and I'm coming out quick. Last night, I went to bed fairly early because I get up early on Sunday mornings, and my wife had to go pick up our daughter from the homecoming festivities. And so she got home much later than I went to sleep. And when she came into the room, something she did startled me. And she'll tell you, I came out of that bed real fast with my fists reared back, and I said, get out of here! And she said, it's me. That's how you've got to be with sin. When the thought shows up, you've got to say, get out of here and not entertain it. Because the more you entertain it, the closer you're going to get to walking in it. Can we just talk for a moment? As long as you've got flesh, you're going to have thoughts. And I don't care how close to Christ you get, you're still going to have thoughts pop in your mind. The question is, what do you do with it? Because if you start thinking about it, then those thoughts are going to create some passion. That passion is going to become desire until you fully step into it, and what you desired will lead to death. I mean, it's like this. If you have a problem with eating donuts, you've got to stay clear of Dunkin' Donuts. But here's the problem with us. We, for some reason, like to see how close we can get to something before we get burned by it. I'm just going to go park in the Dunkin' Donut parking lot in the morning I'm not going to go in, but I just, there's something about, I enjoy watching people come and go about their day. So I'm just going to go to the parking lot, Tommy, and I'll sit there and I'll watch them in the morning. But I'm not going in. I'm not going in. You know what, today, I'll go in today because, you know, I've got the willpower. I just want to smell the donuts. I just want to smell them. There's nothing wrong with me smelling the donuts. You know what? I'm just going to take a bite, but what I'm going to do is I'll chew it and spit it out. I'm not going to swallow the donut. I mean, what harm is there in chewing? I'm not going to get the calories from the donut just by chewing. I'll spit it out, okay? I knew someone like that one time. They were trying to lose weight, and they ate whatever they wanted to, but they spit it out. The problem is you do that, and eventually you accidentally swallow. And by the looks of me, you can tell I accidentally swallowed a lot. But are you following what I'm saying? I mean, that's a simple, silly illustration, but that's how it is with our sin. It will start off as a thought. And immediately when you are presented with that thought, you have to deal with it then. The Bible says we've got to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So if it comes in my mind, then it is not of God. I've got to say, this stops now. You don't have dominion over me. This week I was on the phone with a pastor. And as we're talking, he starts to tell me a story. And before he gets too far into the story, he says, I need to stop. He said, because if I keep on going, I'm going to move into gossip. And he said, and gossip is not of God. And he said, I need to pray right now. He said, because I need to get my heart and my spirit right. What's that doing? He's checking it. He's checking it before it happens. He noticed it rise up. He noticed the desire. And he said, nope, this is not happening. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Whatever it is in your life, when it shows up, and it will show up, you've got to immediately check it and say, no, this does not happen in my life. And instead of fixating on it, I've got to begin to fill myself with the things of God that are good, that are going to retrain my thinking and retune my heart to be in alignment with Him. That's what Paul's trying to say. He's saying sin should not have dominion over you. That does not mean you're going to be a perfect person. That does not mean you're going to get everything right every time. What that does mean is I am a new creation, and I am trying to become more like Him and less of who I am. Not because of anything other than the fact that arm will always take me in the wrong direction. Arm will always do what he thinks is best for arm at the expense of others. Are you with me this morning? He goes on to say, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law and under grace? By no means. We need to rethink the way we view grace. See, some people have taken grace and made it a license to sin. And grace is not a license to sin. Grace is the ability to live above sin. Grace gives you the ability to do what you cannot do on your own. See, on your own, you never have the ability to say, no, get out of my life. You don't have the authority to speak to those things apart from Christ Jesus. But now that I am filled with His Spirit, my words have power. I have the grace of God living in me and on me and working through me. So now I can say, no, that's not who I am. The problem is, church, we have turned salvation into something that it is not. What we have done in the church is we have presented salvation this way. Pray a prayer and you'll be saved. You've got an option. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. And here's the way you get to the good place. Say this prayer. So what happens is we have people, they come to church, they hear that message. Nobody wants to go to the bad place if they're in the right mind. So what do? They say the prayer. But then nothing changes. That's not salvation. And right now, some of you are thinking, Pastor, you're wrong. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. That is pretty plain. It's pretty simple. That's what it says. Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. But that's not how we've used it. We've used it as a get out of jail free card. I'll say the prayer and live my life however I want. And that's not what Paul is saying when he says you confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's just start right there. He's saying there's a confession. What is this confession? Jesus is Lord. That means he has a place of authority in my life. I believe that he is the king. I believe, I'm confessing that he has established something new that leads to life. And I am confessing that I want to be a part of that. I want to walk away from sin that leads to death so that I can experience new life in Christ and be a part of this new creation that he has started. That is my confession. And I believe in my heart that even though he died, God raised him to new life. And in his resurrection, new creation has begun. I'm a part of it. And when I make that confession and I believe that in my heart, things are going to begin to change. Because believing alone is not enough. Hear what the Bible says. Please listen to me this morning, church, because this message will change your life. Hear what the Bible says in the book of James. It says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Then James gets a little bit snarky with the church. He's like, even the demons believe. When Jesus walked this earth in flesh, do you know who recognized him to be the Son of God over everyone else? Demons. They did not question whether or not Jesus was God in flesh. They knew. They had complete confidence in that. They believed that. So it's not saying I believe this to be true. It's saying that what I believe is now shaping who I am. Something has shifted. Something has changed. Something has come alive. And things are beginning to grow in me that have never grown before. And it's a daily walk that I go through to where every day I'm wanting to be more like Christ. How? By spending time in his word. I'm spending time in worship. Why? Because those things shape me. I'm gathering together in community like this. Why? Because it's in community that God has designed us to grow. If you are attending church once a month, don't expect a lot of growth. If you only show up twice a month, please do not expect a lot of growth. If you are just coming here to be entertained by the singers and hear something that encourages you so that you get excited and just go about your day, don't expect much growth. Growth happens when I hear and I receive and I go, okay, I'm taking this and I'm walking it out. That's what Paul's getting at. Grace is more than unmerited favor. Grace is the empowerment to become, the right to become the sons of God. He goes on, he says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. That's God's way of doing things. He's saying somebody owns you. Turn to the person next to you and say, somebody owns you. You know, one of the greatest deceptions that we bought into is that your life belongs to you. You do not belong to you. You belong to someone. You are either a part of the kingdom of darkness or you are a part of the kingdom of God. There is no in-between middle ground. I'm my own person. I do my own things. I make up my own mind. I have my own decisions. I follow my own feelings. I find my own truth. Okay? Great. Someone's leading that. No. Someone is leading you. What we have to ask ourselves is, who's leading me? And where's it taking me? Because sin makes a terrible master. Can I say that again? Sin makes a terrible master. He will play with you little by little by little by little until one day he has you. And the problem is we have so normalized sin that it no longer grieves us. We hear it on the radio, and it does not grieve us. We see it in television shows, and it doesn't grieve us. We see it all around us every day, and it no longer grieves us. Why? We become desensitized to it. It's like putting a frog in a pot of water and slowly turning up the heat. What'll happen is the frog won't notice it getting warmer. Then eventually it'll get comfortable. But over time, it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter until the frog is boiled. That's how sin works. So you got to know that the enemy is actually pretty smart. He knows how to get you. He has a tailor-made plan for your life. And he works it little by little. A perfect example of this is the story of Samson. Samson was designed to do incredible things for the kingdom of God. And God gave Samson some parameters. Why did he give him parameters? Because he knew that within these parameters is how you're going to thrive. Within these parameters is where you will find strength and human flourishing. See, God does not set parameters on our life trying to limit our life. He sets the parameters because he knows that this is where life will actually happen. It's like having a dog. I've got a fence for my dog, not because I hate that dog and I want to limit its life. I have a fence because I know its best life is staying close to me and not wandering off. So God gives Samson parameters. But if you follow his story, he's always pushing the limits. He's always playing and touching and doing things that God said don't do. Until one day, Samson lays his head in the wrong lap, and it cost him his life. And here's what's amazing to me about the story of Samson. He had the ability to defeat whole armies. No one had greater power than Samson. But when it came to the enemy within, he never resisted it. He never fought it. He gave into it. And the end result was death. Why? Because sin makes a terrible master. The things you are doing, you think that you enjoy, you're doing it because you think it brings life, is actually leading you somewhere very destructive. He says, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart. What does that mean? There's a heart transformation. I'm not following rules because there's rules. I'm following them because my heart desires it. Why does my heart desire it? Because I see that that is what produces life. That's, I'm trying to get you to rethink it. There are things that I do because I now see that that is what true life is all about. Are you following me so far? He says, you become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching which you were committed. and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of God's way of doing things, slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms. He's saying, I'm trying to explain all this to you in a way that you can understand, so I'm using the concept of slavery and bond servants and all this kind of stuff. But just know, just in the same way that you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members, present your life, present your body, your time, your actions, your words, present them as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. What is sanctification? It is the process that we are in to become more like Christ. It's that daily walk I'm talking about. Verse 20 says, for when you were slaves of sin, when you were slaves of sin. Here's what Paul's doing. He's showing them that sin is the great equalizer. In other words, none of us have escaped the effects of sin in our life. He says in Romans, the third chapter, he says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is sin? It's missing the mark. And Paul's saying, we've all done it. See, sometimes we like to point out what other people have done, not realizing there are things in our life that is sin that needs to be dealt with. He's leveling the playing field. We have all sinned. I recently went on an airplane flight, and when I got on the flight, I walked through first class, then I went into the business class, then I went into the economy class, and I walked all the way back to the back of the plane where my wife buys our class. We're in the back, you know, near the bathroom, so when the door opens, you get the glory of everything that's happened in that plane. But here's what I realized, okay? Because you got first class, you got business class, you got economy class, and then you got basic. Your boy's basic, okay? But here's what I realized. Even though we are all experiencing the flight in different ways, we're all on the same plane, headed to the same destination. What that means is the way you sin may be different than the way I sin. The level of sin in your life may be different than the level of my sin, but we're all on the same plane, and it's all headed to the same destination. That's what Paul wants us to see. Sin is the great equalizer. Verse 21, but what fruit were you getting? In other words, what are you really getting out of the sinful life that you're living? I want you to think about that. What good is coming from the things that you do? Is it producing more long-term joy? Is it producing more long-term peace? What kind of fruit are you getting from the things that you're doing? Because that's why we're doing it. We're being given the promise of fulfillment, and so that's what we're going after. The question is, at the end of the day, are your hands empty or are your hands full? Is it producing something better for you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or is it making a withdrawal from your life and leaving you depleted? Do you know what sin really is? Sin is you trying to fulfill a legitimate need from an illegitimate source. You're looking for something good. The problem is you're going to the wrong source. Paul's saying, we've all been there. What do you have to show for it? I mean, if sin leads to ultimate life and enjoyment, let's go. And maybe your experience has been different than mine. My personal experience is the enjoyment lasted for a moment. Then came the regret, the shame, and the damage I caused in other people's lives. And instead of giving me what I wanted, it caused more brokenness. And now here's what happens. To fix that brokenness, I've got to go out and do something else. And I go do it, and it just causes more brokenness. I'm building the debt ceiling in my life. Are you following this? What fruit were you getting from that? At the time, from the things of which you are now ashamed. See, sin should grieve us. The sin in our life should grieve us. For the end of those things is what? It's death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification. See, now the actions are producing something in you that is beneficial. It is sanctification. That's the process of becoming like Christ, which ends in eternal life. Then he gives us a verse that we all know. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Here's what I need you to rethink before we close. When we think about the outcome of sin being death, many times our mind goes to eternal judgment. In other words, here's the problem with sin. It's going to send you to hell. Now, hear what I'm saying. I believe in eternal judgment. So don't get twisted on this thing. I believe in eternal judgment. I just don't believe that's the fullness of why sin is a problem. When he says the wages of sin is death, we need to not just see it as an eternal state, but an immediate result. Because the moment you choose to walk in sin, you are causing damage and releasing hell right now in your environment. Think about this in a family unit. When one spouse decides that they're going to step out on another spouse, not only are you destroying your spouse mentally and emotionally, but if you have kids, you are destroying your kids and shaping their life. Not only are you destroying your spouse, and not only are you destroying your children, but now you are using somebody else's body for your own selfish gain. You're saying you are nothing more than a piece of meat for my pleasure. You are releasing hell. What is hell? The absence of God into your life. And we could go on and on and on with this. When you gossip, you are releasing hell in someone's life because you're destroying them. Natalie, if I speak down to you, I am taking the image of God, someone he loves, and I am degrading it. I am causing damage that will possibly shape the rest of her life. That's the danger of sin. It's not just eternal hell. It's the hell that I am releasing right now in the life of others through the decisions I'm making. That's why Christ came to deal with our sin. It was more than just trying to get us to this eternal place. It was so that he could do something new and rid his good creation of the things that are bringing corruption and hurt and harm to creation and humanity. He's the only one that knows what will produce thriving human life. And he's saying sin is not it. It's destroying. It's distorting. It's harming people that I love. And that's why the Bible says that Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't condemn humanity. He condemned sin. Why? So that you could break free from the bondage it has in your life. So that you have the ability to say no. So that you have the ability to say, I am going to live above this thing that is trying to rule my life. And know this, sin's intention is to rule your life so that it can run your life. And you've got to learn how to rule over it. You've got to learn that you have been seated with Christ in heavenly places, that those things are below you, and you've got to know who you are. And that's the problem. For too long, we don't know who we are. Because we've made church about this experience that we go to on Sunday, not realizing it is a part of a lifestyle that we are a part of, living in new creation every day of our life. Something new has happened in me. Something that was dead has been made alive in me. The Spirit of God lives in me for a purpose, to make a difference. All I'm doing is I'm looking for people who are going to say, I want to be a part of this new creation life that Jesus has made available. Justin, I want to do something more than just show up on Sundays and be entertained. That's not going to cut it. I've got to know that when I go out into my world, that I'm leaving equipped to make a difference in that world. I got to, when I leave, I got to know that I am carrying the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere that I go, and that His power has the ability to transform hearts and lives and change situations. I've got to see that this is more than just heaven and hell. This is day-to-day life, and I have the ability to release heaven on earth, or I can unleash hell on earth, and I've got to make that decision. That's what we're going to be a part of. Church, that's who we are. Activation Church, I can't speak for any other church because I'm not their pastor, but this is who we are. We are the people of God who are going to walk in the purpose of God. And we're going to fulfill the plan of God here on this earth. I'm not waiting for the sweet by and by. I'm here for the moment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Again, I believe in eternity. I believe in eternal judgment. But I also believe in the goodness of God. Right here, the Bible says, in the land of the living. I believe that the abundant life of Jesus Christ starts in the moment you say yes to Him. That means peace belongs to me. Joy belongs to me. Strength belongs to me. And if I'm not experiencing those things, it's not because He's not made it available. It's because I've let go of it. No one has a right to take my peace. But I can let go of it. No one has the right to take my joy, but I can let go of it. All I'm saying is, from now on, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Don't let anything move you. Don't let anything shake you. Don't let an offense between one another rise up and drive you away. Stay planted. Stay rooted. Church, I'm pleading with you. The reason you are deficient in your life is because you've never planted anywhere. Too many people, you're hopping from church to church to church to church to church, and you never allow your roots to settle. Well, I got a little bit hurt. Well, maybe you got pruned and not hurt. I may unbutton my top button for that one. Maybe you got pruned instead of hurt, but you didn't like the pruning process. You were told something that you didn't like. You wanted to do something that you wanted to do, and someone in leadership said, no, we're not going to do it that way. See, I believe that everything that we go through is an opportunity to grow. I'm not saying what happened to you at another church was the right thing to happen to you, but I'm saying it is an opportunity to grow. And I need to choose where I'm going to church based upon God. Where are you planting me? And not based upon this has the best program or they have the best coffee or that worship pastor sings the songs I like. It needs to be, where have you planted me? Where do you want me? And I'm going to stay there and I'm going to grow there and I'm going to flourish there and I'm going to thrive there and I'm going to be a part there no matter what anyone does, no matter what anyone says. If I know God has planted me, I will stay. And if you will stay planted where God has called you, you will begin to produce fruit. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.